to glorify God's name through telling you all about what God's been doing with our children and with our new building project. And it's just been great to see how God's been channeling his blessing through our UK charity, New Hope for Children, for the work of Children's Vision there in Colombia. And for those of you who haven't heard me speak today, or today or any other day, just to say, my name's Richard Sanderson, and I live out there in Colombia. I've lived out there for 20 years now. And in Colombia, my wife and I rescue street children. We have the privilege of helping over 200 children now in our four children's homes and in our school. Now, today I want to share about the glory of God. And I was thinking about this subject, and you know, in so many things, we talk about seeing the glory of God. Something happens that's of favor to us, and we say, I saw God's glory in that particular thing that God allowed to happen. Or I saw God's glory in this, or somebody was healed, and I saw God's glory in that, and that's amazing. But I want to ask a question tonight. What is God's glory? Not how do we see it, but exactly what is God's glory? I'm going to tell you a story of one of our children in Colombia that we just took into our home just over the last few months. And Janine and I have a difficult job sometimes. We're asked to go and look at different children's cases, and there's this particular area where we've been focusing our help just recently. And do you know what it feels like to have to choose the neediest children among the needy? Because we can't take all of the children in who want to come and live at our home. And they all deserve in their own way to be able to come and live at our home. But we pray and we ask God, Lord, show us. Show us the children that you want us to take in. And God has his ways of showing us. You know, my wife, Janine, she loves to bake birthday cakes. And for each and every one of the children, she bakes them birthday cakes. Well, with some help. You know, some days we can have 3, 4, and 5 birthdays on one particular day. That's a busy day. And she decorates them beautifully. And if you love helicopters, you get a helicopter. And if you love football, you get a football. And if you like racing cars, you get a car. And all of those type of things. But those moments create special memories in the hearts of the children. And I think hopefully we all have those special memories of moments of our birthdays when we remember those excellent things that God allowed us to be blessed with. Now, you know, we went into this particular place and we've been helping children from that area. And we walked into this house and there's a little girl called Sophia, and her family had been asking for Sophia to be able to come to Children's Vision. And my wife, Janine, looked at Sophia and she said, Sophia, why would you like to come to Children's Vision? And Sophia got a big smile on her face. And we thought, what is she going to say? And Sophia said, well, I heard a rumor. And we said, okay, what's the rumor? And she said, the rumor was that there's a lady who makes birthday cakes for all of the children on their birthday. And I want my birthday cake. I thought, you know what? She wasn't thinking about not living in a house with a dirt floor. And she wasn't thinking about having her own bed to sleep in. And she wasn't thinking about 3 meals a day. She was thinking about her birthday cake. You know, and when I saw that joy on her face, I thought, boy, the moment you get your first birthday cake, it's going to feel like God's glory being outpoured over your life. You know, and I came to that determination as I was reading through all of what God's glory is about. So today, if you want to look in your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to read this story of Moses. Now, in Exodus chapter 33, there's a most amazing story where God says to Moses, Moses says to God, "Now show me your glory." Moses wants to see God's glory, and I thought, wouldn't that be amazing to see God's glory? What is God's glory? Well, this story actually talks to us about what God's glory is. As I began to read it, God began to show me. So there's two moments where God's actually telling Moses what he's going to do, that he's going to pass by and he's going to put Moses in the rock and he's going to cover him with his hand as he goes by, and then he's going to take his hand away and Moses is going to be able to see the back of God, the back of his glory. So as I read this, let's have a look at verse 19. So verse 19 is as God's telling Moses what he's going to do. And it says in verse 19, "And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." So what does God talk about here? All of his goodness. Let's now go on to verse 22. And in the first part of verse 22, we can see now God's actually going to do this thing. And this is what he now says to Moses. He says to Moses, "When my glory passes by." Now God doesn't talk about his goodness. He talks about his glory. And when I read that, I began to really realize, what is God's glory? It's all of his goodness. All of his goodness that he can offer to us as his children, as our Father who loves us. And so then I went to the Hebrew and Greek and looked up meanings. Looked up the meaning of glory. And what does that talk about? It talks about God's importance. And it talks about his influence. Actually, the words were heaviness and weightiness. But what that's referring to is God's influence. And then it was talking about God's reputation and his honor. And I read all of those things and I thought, wow. And then a few verses later, it talks about God's mercy. And all of those things are God's glory, all of his goodness. When can we have that? When Jesus is living in our heart. You know, and I was thinking about that and I thought, wow, your importance, your influence, your good reputation and your honor. Wow, I want your glory in my life. I want God's glory in my life with all of my heart. If God's glory is all of God's goodness, it's not just those things we mentioned, but everything that God offers to us, well, then I want that glory in my life. I don't know about you, but I want it. For sure. And I have got to see so many times God's glory outpoured in very practical ways in people's lives. But do you know what's the most important thing? Is when God's glory, his importance, his influence, his reputation and honor begins to transform our heart. And we begin to see differences in the way that somebody speaks and thinks and acts. And the way that they reflect that glory that lives inside of us when we believe in Jesus. And that's the most exciting thing that begins to happen with our children as they begin to know Jesus. We begin to pray and ask God that he will transform their hearts. Now, I want to tell you about a family that we've just taken into the foundation. And we were asked to go about an hour outside of Bogota to a place called Fusa by our psychologist. And we got there and she said, "This is a family that I've been helping. And this family really, really needs the help of the foundation." We said, okay. And when Janine went and she got there, there was a stable. And in this stable, was living a family. A mom, a 14-year-old girl, a 4-year-old, and a baby. Now, you know, you think about that baby in a stable, you automatically think about the birth of Jesus, you know? But that baby didn't choose to live there in that stable with animals. It wasn't just them in the stable, there was animals. But there was a house next door to the stable, and they weren't allowed in the house because the grandma, who was a very violent lady, wouldn't let them into the house. And she almost had them there under fear as slaves to serve her. And when she found out we were there, she came running out with a machete. Now, Colombians can manage those machetes like you couldn't believe. I'll tell you. She came out with that machete and she was going to have a chop at my wife, Janine. And the daughter jumped in and grabbed a hold of her mom. And we were able to get out of that place. But we put a whole plan together to help those children. And we managed to get the children and the mom out of that place a few days later. And God began to outpour his blessing, his glory, all of his goodness over that family. And if you'd have seen their faces when they got to Bogota, of having a bed to sleep in and 3 meals a day and birthday cakes and all of those incredible things. But I'm praying and thinking about what God's going to do in their heart when they begin to fully understand the power of God's glory and all of his goodness that he offers to us as his children. Now I'm going to give you a few examples of that in the Bible, where we've seen outpourings of God's glory, all of God's goodness. When we think about, for example, Joseph, who achieved a position of authority and royalty. We think about Jacob in terms of the possessions that he was blessed with. And you know, we're doing a new building project right now, and I see our young men running up and down the stairs and bricks and concrete and all types of things. And I have to remember I'm not 25 years old anymore, because I would love to be, you know, I mean, I grab some bricks and go up the stairs, you know, and by the time I get to the second floor, I'm going, hold on. I'm not quite as young as them anymore. And there's a verse in Proverbs that says that a young man's strength is his glory. And that's true, I'm telling you. So, and there's also other ways that we see God's glory. For example, in the burning bush. That's a manifestation of God's glory. So there's all those examples there. And when we look at Joseph and Jacob, for example, we can see all of God's importance and his influence working to their favor. So we've talked about now, what is God's glory? I want to ask you today, how much do you want to see God's glory? How much do you want God's glory in your life? I don't know about you, but I want it lots. I want it in abundant measure. You know, when Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments and the tablets of stone. This was just in the chapter before. And as he came down the mountain, his people were doing all manner of things that didn't glorify God in any way. And people were killed. And there was all types of consequences because of it. But there was a moment that God said, I'm going to withdraw my presence. I look at all of our children. We have 210 children. You know, it's a miracle every day that they have food on the table. Just look at that. Never mind everything else. And I think, you know, if God withdrew his presence, there would be no way that we could do what we're doing. I know that only in God's strength can we do it. And I began to feel a bit panicky, you know, because, gosh, I thought, if God ever said, I'm withdrawing my presence, we'd go into panic mode. I can't imagine the panic mode that Moses went into when God said, I'm going to withdraw my presence. And he began to cry out to God, to claim to God everything God had promised and say, God, don't withdraw your presence. If I look at our calling that we have in Colombia, it's about this big compared to the calling that Moses had, which was about this big. Moses knew there was no way he could fulfill that calling without God's glory, God's goodness, God's presence over that situation. And this is why I ask you, how much do you want to see God's glory? Let's take a look at Exodus 33, verse 12. Moses here is crying out. You know, just before we read this, I'm just going to tell you that a lot of years ago, before New Hope for Children ever started, and before Children's Vision ever started, my wife Janine was speaking in a church. And when she'd done speaking, a man who she didn't know came up to her and said, God has a word for you today. And this word is that he has a calling on your life for something special. But I don't know what it is. And he said, but God said to tell you that if you trust in him, your storehouses will never be empty. You know, and I'm going to tell you that there's been days that it's been difficult and moments that the provision has come at the very last moment. But I can tell you that our storehouses, praise God, have never been empty. And God has provided for every need that we've had. You know, in this new building, we're putting a lift. And we prayed and we asked God, we said, a lift, boy, that's really expensive, you know. But I know God can do it. And we asked God about this lift and prayed about this lift. And a gentleman came to the foundation and God really touched his heart. And it was a gentleman from the lift company. And he said, we're going to help you. And they said, my company will give the lift at cost price. He thought, yes. God said, no, I have more miracles to do. And then he said, and we import the lift from China. So we're going to talk to the Chinese to see if they'll give it at cost price to us. And they talked to the Chinese people, and the Chinese people said, yes, you can have it at cost price from China. And then we talked to our friends in the presidency in Colombia who helped us bring in our containers tax-free, and we said, we're bringing in a lift from China. Is there any way that we cannot pay import tax on it? It's for public benefit. And they came back a few days later and said, absolutely, no import tax. Yes. And we ended up getting that lift, I think, for about 40% of the original price. God poured out his glory on that situation. And you know, the children were asking me, they said, so this lift, when it gets to the different floors, does it speak? Does it tell you which floor you're on? And I said, yeah. I said, but you just have to remember something. It doesn't say it in Spanish. It says it in Chinese. It says, ching chong. And we've been laughing about that, you know. I have no idea what it speaks. I'm sure it speaks Spanish. But even if it spoke Chinese, that would be just fine. So let's take... I wasn't going to tell that story. Let's take a look in Exodus 33, verse 12. So verse 12 says this. This is Moses crying out because God said he's going to withdraw his presence. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people... He's saying, you've called me to lead these people. Don't withdraw your presence. I can't do it without all of your goodness, your glory outpoured in this situation. Moses knew he couldn't do it in his own strength. Then he goes on and a little bit further on. Moses says to God, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Moses said to God, I don't want to be further away from you. I want to be closer to you. I want to know more of you. I want more of your favor. And I know I can't do this if I don't have your presence. Can you see how Moses is crying out? He's kind of in panic mode here, Moses. And then he said what I think was probably the key phrase. He said, remember that this nation is your people. And there are moments, perhaps when Janine and I are concerned about certain things and praying about certain things, and we get to a point where we say, Lord, these are your children. And you just have to trust and believe that the Lord's going to make it possible. Moses reminds God of this. And God says in verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He's saying, be at peace, Moses. I'm not going to withdraw my presence. And I imagine Moses went, oh, thank goodness for that. You know what I want to show you today? The power of one. The power of one that chased after God because the people weren't all crying out to God. Moses was crying out to God. And because of one crying out to God, God said, I will not withdraw my presence. And you might be in a situation in your life today, maybe where there's lots of people around you who aren't looking to God. But what I want to remind you today is that God's saying, if one wants my presence, my glory, and all of my goodness, then I will not withdraw it. I think maybe Moses wanted to just be sure. And he said in verse 15, Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses said, I'm not doing anything without your presence with us, because I can't in my own strength. And in verse 16, I thought this was very interesting. Moses asked, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And I want to ask you today, what distinguishes you and me from all of the other people who don't know Jesus? What is it? I can give you the answer. Because if we believe in Jesus, then God's glory is living in our heart. And if God's glory is living in our heart, then our lives should reflect that glory that lives within us. Thought that was the most incredible little passage there in Exodus. In verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And never forget the power of one person that looks for God. That's a powerful thing. We just took a boy into our foundation. I think we had a story like this last year that was similar. And we seem to be having a few more of these cases. And he saw his parents assassinated in front of him. He lost his parents. He went to live with an abusive older brother. He then went from there to live in social services for 2 years, where he never went to school. So on top of losing his parents, of going through rejection from the abuse of his brother, and then he has this huge gap in his education. That's a whole heap of difficulties. But God has brought him into our foundation, and we're praying that God's glory, all of his goodness, is going to be over his life, helping him to recover, to heal his heart, and to recover all of the other things that he needs to recover. Now, the final question that I want to ask you today is this. Where is God's glory? Where is it? In you and me, where is God's glory? So we've talked about what God's glory is, all of his goodness, and we've talked about how much do we want God's glory, because I think sometimes God waits to see how much do we want what we ask for. The third thing is this, where do we find it? Where do we find it? Let's take a look in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. I thought this just blew me away, this was amazing. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 tells us this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. So we know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Correct? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Why? Because where the Spirit is, then Jesus is living in our heart, and we have been set free from sin and free from the power of death because of what Jesus did on the cross. Correct? So if the Spirit's there, we've been set free. Verse 18 says this, and we all, who with unveiled faces, now let me tell you about veiled faces. Moses went into the meeting tent and talked to God. Every time he came out, he had to put a veil on. Why? Because the radiance of the glory of God over time would fade. So he had to protect that radiance. Until he went again into God's presence. And every time he came out, he put the veil on and it would protect the radiance. But let's read this verse again. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate, or for to say reflect, the Lord's glory. This is the greatest news for you and I. Because when the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, we'll never be like Moses, because the glory of God in our lives will never fade. We'll never have this problem of it fading. That's why we don't need the veil. Because God's glory lives in our heart. And the verse also says contemplate. Contemplate means reflect. And it means when God's glory lives in our heart, then our lives should reflect that glory. All of God's goodness, imagine that, your life and mine can reflect all of God's goodness when we have Jesus in our heart. All of his importance, his influence, his honor, his reputation work into our favor, his goodness living inside of us. Not just the message of salvation, but much, much more. So I want to finish off the message today by asking you this. Does your life reflect the glory of God that lives in your heart? This message really blew me away. Oh, there's one last bit in this verse. Sorry. It says that through that glory, we're being transformed into the people that God wants us to be. Into the image of Jesus. More and more every day. But the greatest thing is this. Not only does the verse say that the glory will never fade, and that it'll always be there as long as we believe in Jesus, but it says it will be ever increasing. So I ask you now, how much do you want in your life the ever-increasing glory of God? Isn't that amazing? we have something far more than Moses could have ever wished to have. We have the glory of God living in our heart, and God says it will be ever increasing. Who says amen to that? We have a girl called Zeomira who just had a surgery. She had scoliosis. And she prayed and fasted and asked God. She said, Lord, deal with my pain. I'm asking you to deal with my pain. When I wake up from this surgery, I want no pain. Zeomira had her surgery several months ago. It was a very serious surgery. Her recovery has been something of a huge miracle. And from the day she woke up to the day of today, she's had no reason to take any painkillers whatsoever. And God's glory outpoured over her life, his goodness, his influence, everything that God has to offer us, dealt with her pain. And if you heard her today, boy, I'll tell you, we hear her every day. Janine and I have her apartment right above where she has her room. And we hear her every day singing at the top of her voice, praises to God. And you can see the glory of God reflected in her life. It's been something amazing. And the smile and the joy and the radiance she gets every time she talks about God and sings with all of her heart. And we've discovered that she's got a pretty good voice. So I'm going to put on my DVD and let you see a little bit about what we've been doing in Colombia. Just start at chapter 1, please. So Children's Vision was started back in 1994, and New Hope for Children was started a few years ago now, 10 years ago. We just had our 10-year anniversary in 2008 to raise support for the work in Colombia from here. And these are all of our children in Colombia. Just over 200 of them we have now, between our four children's homes and our school. One of those most important things that we do where we see God's glory outpoured is through the gift of an education. And we have from nursery right through to the end of high school, and also electrical technician classes and all kinds of different things that we teach our children. We found that almost 50% of our children who graduate from high school go on to higher education. Now, when the children arrive in our classrooms, we can't just begin to teach them. Many of them, as older children, have to learn to read and to write. And they have to learn very basic things, such as how to use a toilet and how to brush their teeth. And we have to teach all of those things before we can begin to teach a class. Now, that's our new building project. And these are all the children from the school who were waving at the workers on the building project, encouraging everybody in the work that we were doing. And as you can see, the building is very, very far on. So that education is what helped break the cycle of poverty in the lives of the children. Now, we also work very much with hunger relief. And this is what our lunch times look like. And this is why we need to have the new dining room that's in our new building. So we do 6 sittings, 3 in our Genesis house and 3 in the Exodus house. And our parents would make around about £3 to £4 a week. Many of our parents, can you imagine trying to support a family on that? Many of our children arrive malnourished, and our nutritionist works very, very hard to get everybody up to a better weight. Our children love food, and sometimes they put rice in their pockets for later, and we find it going around in the washing machine. Now, we also help the children with all of their medical needs. And also on top of that, we do medical missions, going to all types of different places around the country of Colombia, taking medical missions to bless people in a very practical way. This is what our nursery looks like. It's always a very busy place. Our children love to play. And this is bedtime at our house. Can you imagine getting the children to put the toys away and get to bed? Oh my goodness, it's quite an operation. So the Genesis house has the boys and girls from babies up to 8 for the boys and 6 for the girls. And then we have the Exodus house for the boys that has the boys from 8 up to 18 years old. And there's our dog Lucas. He loves to be running around too. And these are the girls in the Numbers house, the oldest house that's the girls from 13 years and upwards. We're more than just a home. We're a family and we're a hope for the future. And here's Lucas with our girls from 6 to 11. And he said, that's it. I've had enough. I'm out of here. And our girls, they love to dance. Boy, they could wear you out, I'm telling you. We also have a really great evangelism team that travels all over Colombia teaching God's word. This is one of their presentations and one of our Wednesday morning prayer and fasting times. We also do Bible studies with all of our children each evening. There's devotional in our houses. And here we carefully explain the word of God to our children. Now, we began to pray a while ago for Bible literature and God began to bless us. We thought a few boxes, God sent us a whole container of 20 tons of evangelism literature. And every 2 years approximately, we receive that container that comes free of charge all the way from Northern Ireland to Colombia. We also have our neighbors Bible study group, and back in November, several of our neighbors were baptized. And by the way, the swimming pool wasn't ours, it was lent to us. We were also in the Amazon just there in December. And we've been there doing a medical mission, but this one was humanitarian aid. And we were able to give out over 300 Bibles to people who knew nothing of the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to stop the DVD there. So I've got DVDs on the table at the back. Please take as many as you want, okay? But I'd just like to finish by saying a quick prayer for you, if that would be okay. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your importance and your influence. Lord, for your good reputation and your honor and all those things that is all of your goodness that we couldn't possibly really, truly understand. But Father, I understand this, that when we love Jesus in our heart, that your glory lives in our lives. All of that goodness to our favor. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we all would want with great desire, more than anything in our lives, to have your glory living within us. And Father, I thank you for that promise. That you said, not only will it be your glory that will never fade, but that it will be ever increasing and that it will transform us to be the persons that you have called us to be. So, Father, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for all the goodness of your glory. Lord, and I thank you for the power of one that looks for your heart. That, Father, when we do that, you gave us an amazing promise that you will never withdraw your presence. So, Father, I thank you for all of those things and all of the goodness, all of your goodness that is outpoured by this church and its different ministries. I pray that you'll bless them and empower them and help them, Father. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much and God bless.